Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 25, for June 13th, 2006. Jeff Robbins of Lullabot. Amber, it was so great to see you in San Francisco. I hope you had a great time at VloggerCon, and thank you for being on Twit this past week. Really nice to have you part of the Twit family.
Yeah, it's always good to see the Twit folks and be able to do it live and not have to do it over Skype and
much better
fuddle with my headset and audio and all those problems.
Much better, yeah. And you can see video of that, too, by the way. That's one of the few Twits lately that we've videoed. We're going to video two in a row, which I don't know what that means or signifies. And, of course, you can catch Amber on Command N all the time.
All the time.
This week we have, I almost feel like I'm responsible for this one. I mean, you set up the interview, but this guy, Jeff Robbins, is a Leo Laporte discovery. Because I went searching for somebody to do my website. You guys had done a great job, and I was running Drupal, and I was trying to figure out how to get the great archetype web design that you did into Drupal, and eventually, which is a content management system. And eventually I said, I don't have the skills to do this. I need help. And I went to search and I found Lullabot and our next guest.
Yes. Jeff Robbins from Lullabot is going to chat with us about Drupal and about what they're working on at Lullabot. So it's good to have him on the call.
A lot of us have gone through this search before of which content management system to use. And I've used a lot of them. My most recently Expression Engine and Peer Machine, but I've used WordPress and TypePad and Movable Type. And I know you've used quite a few too, Amber. And this is a kind of a common thing people who have websites do, is look for the ultimate content management system. So I asked Jeff, of all of the ones he's tried, why Drupal?
Why Drupal? Well, the whole story actually starts probably close to 2 years ago. I was building websites. My wife is a web designer. She's actually an O'Reilly author. She wrote Web Design in a Nutshell. And we were working together designing and building websites. And we were doing a lot of blog sites. And there's some really great free open source blogging tools out there like Movable Type is open source-ish. You can open the source and look at it. And like WordPress and stuff like that. And then there's some great free bulletin board systems. And I mean, there's just a whole bunch of great stuff. And so I was thinking, well, there has to be, a content management system. I mean, what's a content management system? I mean, a blog is like a specialized content management system. And so we were sort of looking for something that was a blog plus, we could add extra fields and stuff like that. And so my friend Jeff Veen, who at the time was a partner at Adaptive Path, was sort of out and about on doing one of the things that he would go out and talk to people about was content management systems and how they could be made better and stuff like that. And so I, called him up and said, so what's out there? What's the content management system that I should be using? And to my surprise, he didn't have an answer. And so I, we talked for a while about my various research and that I downloaded Plone and tried to get that installed and I had downloaded Drupal and I couldn't get that installed. And
You've paralleled basically what many of us have done. I mean, I've downloaded Mambo
and Mambo
and Postnuke and I mean, it's just on and on and on.
All of it, yeah. And so he ended up actually sort of unbeknownst to me, sort of the conversation launched a blog post, and he has a very well-read blog at veen.com/Jeff. It caused this big sort of stir in the open source CMS community, and there were probably about 200 comments in the period of maybe 2 weeks or something like that. And a lot of them were from the Drupal people, the cult of Drupal.
Who are the Drupal people?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, Drupal originally started in Belgium. It was the project lead is a guy named Dries Boytart.
Why am I not surprised it's Belgian?
Yeah.
There's just something about it.
Yeah.
Great
smart
beer.
Smart people over there.
Great content management systems.
And waffles.
It's and waffles.
All good.
Yeah. And chocolate, come on.
And
oh,
chocolate.
Yeah,
don't
let's not forget
the
chocolate. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I had basically, you know, ended up speccing out that whole project with Mambo. And then there was sort of some time period where the client was thinking about whether or not they wanted to, you know, go with this project and go with us and stuff like that. And at the time, and then I started sort of opened up the hood to take a look at what was in there, what was the code with Mambo, and sort of try and figure it out. And the more I looked, the more confused I got. And so I decided to take another look at Drupal. And when I opened up the hood under Drupal, it was some really nice, clean code. And it just seemed like it was going to be a lot easier to do the project with that. And so I ended up moving forward with that.
We're not saying, by the way, that other content management systems don't have clean code.
Well, I just, yeah. And of course, you know, the they problem is that as soon as you kind of choose your weapon, as it were, you don't tend to be conscious of what's happening right with the other one. So,
but,
of course,
it's also
now Mambo is Joomla, and
right.
I mean, there's other things out there now.
And it's a vicious battle. I mean, each one has its partisans who won't countenance anything else being okay.
Yeah.
I've become a Drupal fan. I chose Drupal because it seemed to me, I wasn't looking at the code, but seemed to me to have the most flexibility. I also always look at how many contributed modules there are, because that tells me two things. First, how vibrant the community is and how easy it is to develop modules. And in fact, I use quite a few modules. I know, Jeff, that your company, Lullabot, has done an e-commerce module. And so you have some experience in that. And I think that's a pretty important part of the ecology, the community around it.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's just been, there's some really smart people involved with the Drupal project, and some really nice people, I can say, from going to the Drupal conferences and meeting the people face to face. It's some good people that, and especially the project leads, Dries Boytart, who lives in Belgium, and Steven Wittens, who also lives in Belgium, are really good people and have some really good ideas, and I really tend to agree with the directions that they're sort of leading things. So
Drupal 4.7 just came out
I want to say maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that. Lullabot does a podcast at lullabot.com, and we've been tracking that. It actually went into a code freeze in September. And Lullabot started as a company and as a podcast in January. And at that point, we were saying, any day now, 4.7 will be out. But it finally came out a few weeks ago. And
Is it a video podcast or an audio podcast?
It's an audio podcast. We also do video casts. We do screencasts. Those tend to be sort of tutorial kind of things.
So would that be good for someone who is just learning about Drupal, and
well,
or is
it
more
it
advanced?
All of it would be good for someone that's just learning Drupal. I'm really of the philosophy, and sort of my goal is to make Drupal easier to use, because like a lot of open source software, there's that saying built by developers for developers, and I don't although I kind of have become a developer, I don't really consider myself to be a developer. I still consider myself to be a musician.
which, by the way, people may know from the fact that you did the Floss Weekly theme song.
Well, yeah. I spent most of the 90s touring, fronting a rock band called Orbit. We were signed to A&M Records and
wow.
played the Lollapalooza tour. We actually had a top 10 modern rock single.
Wow. What was it?
It was a song called Medicine. I think you can find it on iTunes.
You guys should put that on the Lullabot site.
I totally apologize for yeah. not knowing, Jeff. I hadn't.
No, it's fine. I have a whole new life now. I've reformed.
I'm sure there is a frisson of excitement, though, from people who are listening, going, "Oh my God, it's yeah. that Jeff."
Yeah, I have some sort of funny connections that way, and then my wife Jennifer is an O'Reilly author. I actually started I worked at O'Reilly before my band got signed. And my wife and I were part of the Global Network Navigator, which was O'Reilly's.
I remember that GNN,
the first global website, GNN, the first website to feature advertising. And so yeah. I was actually in some of the meetings where people were saying things like, "We have this idea for something that we're going to call banner ads."
Oh, wow.
People were saying, "That's ridiculous. Why would anyone click on a banner on a web page?"
Wow.
And so anyways, when my band got signed, I was happy to stop explaining to people what the internet was and go on tour and stuff like that.
And now you've come all the way back to it and you're doing podcasts.
Yeah. Right. Well, what I say is that all my friends who stayed with the web stuff became millionaires, and I went off and played to large crowds of people. And then my band got dropped and those people lost all their money, and we ended up back on the street for Web 2.0.
You're both doing what you were doing before.
Yeah, so, it all worked out, I guess. I'm doing this now. I have a company that makes soundtrack music at somemusic.net.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
And so I do music for television commercials. And
I'll put a link from now on in the Floss Weekly's show notes to somemusic.net. I had no idea.
That's great.
You should tell me these things, Jeff. I'm not pushing for the plugs hard enough.
I know. The plug.
There's a lot you do, I think, Jeff, that we're just learning about.
Well, I like to, remain a mystery.
Well, I told Amber when you were both down at South by Southwest, I said, "You've got to meet Jeff because this guy is great. You're going to really think the world of him." So I'm glad you guys could meet now.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, we've had a Skype chat before as well. Okay. Unfortunately, we didn't meet at South by Southwest, but at least we get to talk now. And I've been kind of following along some of the stuff you guys are doing at Lullabot, especially because of the Twit redesign.
Well, I was going to say that you're linked because, of course, Amber's company, Archetype, at archetype.ca, ARKTYP.ca, did the design for the new twit.tv, and Lullabot under Jeff is doing the engineering to make that design a reality in Drupal. And so really you two are working on twit.tv, if not if sequentially, but at least on the same site.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I actually would love you to talk, Jeff, just for a second about what other major sort of sites that people might know are using Drupal and they might not even realize they're using Drupal, just because unlike I think both you and Leo are really familiar with Drupal, I've learned about it more in the past, say, year because of Leo, but I don't know a ton about it. So it would be interesting if you could just talk a little bit about some of the sites that are using it now and even some of the sites that you're working on.
Well, I would say Drupal right now is sort of at the beginning of an exponential growth spurt. I think it was sort of played the tortoise and the hare game with some of these other content management systems and stuff like that, because it is really solid, but not as flashy as some of them. And so, I was sold on Mambo when I first went to the Mambo site, but to look at the Drupal site, it really doesn't look like much.
It's not very. They're not very good at marketing, I'm afraid.
No, I'm trying to help in that direction with marketing and usability and a lot of that kind of stuff. But
fallen down on templates. The templates are kind of bland and all of the same.
It's all that. Yeah, it's all that stuff where, there's some really smart developers involved with it, but they haven't had, and it's a catch catch-22. It's like, how do you bring good designers into your project? You have good designers in your project, you know, and then then more designers will come in, and that's starting to happen with Drupal. But it hasn't. We're not quite there yet. But that being said, there are some big and good sites, and I know I'm going to not mention some here, and I'm going to feel really bad later. But the one is TheOnion.com. So the comedy newspaper. It is using Drupal these days. I know NATO is doing a big thing with Drupal right now. NASA. I think it's all about the anagrams. NASA's doing has a Drupal site. There's a website called Music for America. That's and of course, I mean the whole push. I mean, with Drupal, there was this big boom with the Howard Dean campaign, a Howard Dean presidential campaign here in the United States.
That was Drupal,
which was Drupal.
I didn't know that.
There was a whole talk about when Howard Dean was running for president. There was this whole talk about the new generation and the new media and people, you know, getting together on the internet and online communities, sort of getting together behind Howard Dean. And that was actually Drupal that was running the Dean Space site. And when Howard Dean dropped out, those people went on and started Civic Space, which is a Drupal distribution and development company in San Francisco. So,
and it's a Drupal design around public organizing and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Activism. Exactly. I mean, Drupal has a whole lot of community features built into it. It has a lot of things built into it, and then there's a lot of modules. I don't know if I'm fully explaining what Drupal is and how it works.
Well, you know, for people who have used movable type or WordPress blogger engines, that's kind of a pretty simple content management system. It allows you to create a design and then has a user interface that requires no information or no knowledge, rather, that is about HTML or web design or anything. It's a very simple to use interface so that people can not think about the web design at all anymore. They just put content up, and the engine handles merging the content with the design. But Drupal, you know, goes to the next level, as does Plone or Joomla.
And what it really turns out is that the next level is not actually just one step up. that was my thinking originally, was like, I just need some extra fields. But what it turns out is that it's a whole different thing, because you're going from sort of this narrow focus that, you know, this site is going to manage blog posts, and I know what a blog post is, to this content management system is going to manage anything. And so what you end up needing is a whole framework behind it, which is what Drupal is. I mean, Drupal, it really is its own framework. So Ruby on Rails is a framework that you can then write web applications on. Drupal is a framework that you can write web applications on, and there is one web application that is a content management system that is called Drupal that is written on the Drupal framework. So it's important to see it as kind of both things, as both a content management system and a complete PHP framework.
I mean, I've been using it as a blogging engine, really, at twit.tv. I haven't really been using it fully, although one of the things that really wowed me about it was, for instance, the PayPal modules that allowed me to integrate PayPal payments. There's forum modules that you can do full forums. There are hundreds of additional user-contributed modules that really extend the flexibility. And that, I guess, hangs on the fact that it's a PHP platform.
And it really attempts to be everything for everyone, which is
usually a bad idea.
Well, yeah, I at least extensible to be able to do anything. And it does a surprisingly good job at it. But again, I think the focus has been on that back end aspect of things. And I think the feeling in the community, at least from the leadership of the Drupal community right now, is that it's kind of gotten to a point where we've kind of covered those bases of functionality, and now we can start focusing more on usability and design and things like that. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more beautiful Drupal sites, like the new TwitTV .tv site.
Well, one of the things that Lullabot and I, Jeff and I, have talked about is because of the power of the Drupal engine, we've been able to incorporate a lot of the workflow of producing and publishing a podcast into the website, so that when I enter, for instance, a post to say there's a new podcast, it'll also generate the XML feed. It'll also do other stuff. And that's our goal in the long run, is to really create an entire workflow out of Drupal. And then it's my hope, and Jeff seems to be open to doing this, to kind of do what Civic Space has done, but make it a specialized Drupal distribution for other podcasters, so they can have a turnkey distribution website, which would be the goal.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. I mean, I think that there's a lot of podcasters out there that would love to have basically something that they could just download and install and start podcasting.
Don't get your hopes up, folks. We got a website to get up first, but I don't want to be too ambitious.
That would be great.
But I think we need that, don't you, Amber? I mean, that's really kind of one of the pieces that's missing from the puzzle. Everybody, you know, it's not so hard to do a podcast, but knowing how to create the XML and publish it and all of that stuff is tricky. And of course, WordPress has things that do it, but it could be done better, I think.
There's still not...
That's the thing about content management systems, is that it can once the content is created and basically stored in the database, you can output it any way you want. And that's why RSS feeds are starting to get to be more popular. If everyone had to roll their own RSS feed by hand, people wouldn't go through the trouble of doing it. But now that you can use something like Movable Type and just have RSS feeds just happen, it's a wonderful side effect, you know, and to be able to do podcasts in the same way and stuff like that. It's really great.
I think, Libsyn is the closest I've seen to being able to do something like that.
Yeah, they're
in
very
terms
close.
Of, yeah, they're very, very close. I mean, there's room for other people to try to do it as well, but Libsyn seems to be the closest that I've seen, for sure.
Yes, I would agree. And they actually add a part that we wouldn't add, which is the bandwidth, which is critical. But one of the things we could do is then offer that engine to Libsyn and say, you know, you guys should really incorporate this in. And you'd have more power and flexibility in your system. Anyway, that's just a dream. That's pie in the sky. I bring it up because it is one of the things that Drupal could do fairly easily, and it has done in the past.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have this grand vision for Drupal. I mean, not that I'm guiding Drupal. I just have a vision, and I'm willing to put it out there. But one of the really great things about Drupal is that because it was created not by Americans, who tend to not see beyond their own borders oftentimes, it's totally internationalizable. And is that a word?
Globalizable.
Globalizable.
And it's translatable. And the interface has been translated into a whole bunch of different languages. And it's also UTF-8 compatible. Basically, I mean, there's distributions of Drupal in Chinese Middle Eastern languages languages and stuff like that. And so the really great thing about that is that basically the only thing that's sort of keeping Drupal from kind of being this universal platform that people could build websites on is sort of usability and ease of installation and stuff like that. And so there's been all this talk about these, you know, hand cranked laptop, $100 laptop computers. You know, everybody's talking about the MIT laptops for $100, and that's very exciting. But where are these people in Zimbabwe going to connect to? What are they going to connect to? You have the, you know, Linux free software that they can install on there, and maybe there's a server that they can install at City Hall or some sort of town center, you know, kind of thing, where they could install the full LAMP stack, you know, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP on there, but it still doesn't get them a website. And my thinking is that if Drupal could be more easy to install and more generally more usable, it's already translatable. It's already, you know, easy enough to create a website in Swahili. It just, you know, just would be a matter of people basically logging into this town server and setting up, you know, it would be really easy to set up the community website for people. So yeah, it's not all about big websites. It's about some little community websites too. And so we're sort of kind of heading in both directions at once. But yeah, there is this sort of it's a big bite to chew to sort of be everything to everyone. So
one of the things that's happening right now with Drupal development, Amber, also is the inclusion of things like Ajax to make it very easy to. And in fact, the new Twit TV has some minor Ajax. But is it the Scriptaculous scripts that are built in, or is that something you did, Jeff?
It's actually not built in. I have a module I've contributed called SP Ajax. Because Scriptaculous Prototype Ajax was just a too long a name for a module. And so it ends up being called Spajax.
Spajax,
which is a very unfortunate name, but basically it's a good example of how you can it's a good example of how you can just install a module that becomes a whole API for writing Scriptaculous and prototype stuff into your sites.
Interesting. Yeah. So, Jeff, can you talk about some of the stuff that Lullabot's working on and using Drupal?
Well, we've been working on the Twit site. We're working. We do kind of a couple of different things. I mean, basically, our thing is we do training. We have a couple of training workshops coming up in August in Washington, D.C. We'll be doing a Drupal 101. Kind of an intro to Drupal class, and also a theming Drupal class, which is sort of the dark art of making Drupal sites look good. And then we also do consulting for people that need help kind of understanding. I mean, the thing with open source lots of times is either information is hard to find or there's just so much information that it's hard to sort of weed through what to do and how to architect your site and stuff like that. And then we do a little bit of development stuff, like what we're doing with Twit, but it tends to be sort of more integrated with an existing development team. But the big project that we're working on right now is for mtv.co.uk, which will be is this website for MTV UK. And that will be completely a Drupal site. So that's going to
be... That's a test.
That's a big
one. Can you do
because
slick-looking, professional, corporate, business site in Drupal
right,
will be the real test.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, the people at MTV in London, they really get it. They've got a team, and that's a really good example. I mean, they've basically gone through all the iterations. I mean, we saw a progression when my wife and I were doing web development of sort of where people would initially get a friend of theirs to do the website, and then that would be kind of, well, okay, and then they'd get somebody sort of more professional to do it, and then they'd get some giant IT company to do it, and they'd always end up not quite working right, and then we'd come in and try and sort of do something more friendly for them. And I think on the corporate side, there's a lot of people finding it tends to be a whole different level of finances, but initially they go out and they get these $1 million proprietary systems built, and what they find is that all the things that they thought it wasn't going to be, it is. It wasn't going to be buggy. It wasn't going to break down. It wasn't going to be difficult to use, and all these kind of things. And so they're starting to look at things like Drupal and say, well, I mean, if our site's buggy anyways, it's like, maybe we have these people to blame, but it's still not getting fixed. And we go to them and we say, we'd like to add some Web 2.0 features. We want to add, free tagging and a little bit of Ajax. And they say, well, it's going to be, 6 months more of development and cost you another $1 million. And so they start looking at Drupal and it starts looking better and better. So MTV is really, really excited about the progress that we're making with Drupal and the direction that it's heading, and they're sponsoring a whole lot of work and stuff. So it's really, really exciting, and I think that's going to be a really big boon just for people kind of like kind of getting it with well,
yeah. Drupal. It's also because of the nature of Drupal, when a big site like that uses Drupal, modules get contributed back to the community. I mean, it we all benefit from it. In fact, I think there'll be modules coming out of Twit eventually as well.
And they benefit from it too. I mean, initially, a lot of large companies would think, well, we don't want people getting in there and mucking with our modules. But it doesn't really work like that. It's got so many people who are using these modules and looking at these modules and submitting bugs that, like, as soon as, if I write a module for Twit or for MTV or someone and I put it up on Drupal.org, other people download it, they find bugs with it. They say, hey, I found a bug, and maybe they might even fix that bug themselves and submit a patch, and then I apply the patch, and then it fixes it on the Twit site, and it fixes it for MTV
as well.
It fixes it in a way that if this was something that was written proprietarily just for their site, this bug would still exist and no one would know anything about it.
If I think back, I mean, Tech TV, we bought a content management system called Vignette that was fabulously expensive, never worked well, were not responsive to the needs, our needs. Everybody who on the web team was fighting with it from day one and hated it. I think, and then about other companies who've written their own. I mean, it's a real challenge to get a good content management system and one that works for everybody. And I think because Drupal is so actively developed by so many people on so many different sites, there are things in Drupal that just won't get into a proprietary CMS. Things like responding to search engine optimization right away and making that doable and workable. Things like that are just so important. We never had search engine optimization. We were always, comma 3649433.html. I mean, it was crazy.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people work on that stuff because they know it's going to benefit everyone.
Right.
They know that it's going to go out for free and it's just sort of a good thing that they can do on the weekend and that they will be appreciated for and stuff like that. And there's a whole lot of stuff in there. I mean, just the user management stuff and a lot of security things that are just sort of handled. When you look at Drupal as a framework, I wouldn't know how to write a login system for a site that kept track of session IDs and, flushed the cache twice a day and all this kind of like crazy stuff that's like, I don't even know exactly what's going on there, but it works and everyone uses it and it's solid and it's just a really great launch pad for building a web application.
Or scales quite well too. I mean, we've been Doug numerous times, slashed out of numerous times and Drupal has always responded very well, but it also has some nice features like throttling built in where it will use fewer resources as the number of users goes up so that it actually responds quite well to heavy loads.
Right, right. So if you have a module or something that does something big, basically you can throttle it out. So it says like if we're getting, 100 users a minute, stop doing that.
Right.
stop indexing the site. Stop, showing videos or whatever it might do. So
Jeff, for anyone who wants to learn more about Drupal, then go to Lullabot and check out the podcast. But I know there's a bunch of Drupal community sites as well. Are there a few places that you could recommend people go?
Well, let's see. There's a number of different things. First of all, I mean, definitely they can go to Drupal.org. And like I said, I mean, it's not as user friendly a site as it might be. But I would encourage people to sort of stick with it and kind of figure out what's going on there. And also, as people are going through the process of using Drupal and figuring it out and getting it installed, I would encourage them to do basically what I did, which was sort of keep notes of what was difficult and that kind of thing, and then make an effort to go back and make it easier to install and use once you figured it out. But yeah, you can just go to Drupal.org and download it, and there's instructions there for how to install it and stuff like that. There, if that doesn't work for you so easily, the Civic Space installation has some sort of cutting edge installers. If you go to civicspacelabs.org or just Google for Civic Space, they have an installation of Drupal that's not the latest. I'm not even sure if it's 4.7 yet, but it's a lot easier to install than the Drupal distribution.
Although I have to say, I installed Drupal, and I'm no wizard, but I installed it myself by hand, and it worked. In fact, twit.tv has been running on for over a year on the Drupal that I installed and maintain, and I did it without any help. I'm actually really glad to have some help finally.
But
I ran it for a long time. I mean, it's not. Don't get scared off. It's not that hard.
Yeah. It's workable, but like I said, I don't consider myself to be a developer sometimes.
Right.
And then Lullabot. I mean, we're up to our. I think we're working on our 15th podcast right now, and
it's the great.
First few
podcasts.
The first.
It.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
the first few podcasts are basically sort of like intro to Drupal, just to kind of get people up to speed. And like I said, I mean, we really try and make an effort to sort of put things in a non-technical light when we can. And people can call 877-Lullabot, and they can ask questions that we'll put on the podcast and answer and stuff like that. So
the Drupal theme garden is a good place to see what Drupal can look like. Although again, Drupal is kind of stymied by the fact that there aren't many great themes, but themes.drupal.org is a good place to at least see what's out there.
Yeah. We're working on a new, probably the next version 4.8, Drupal will have a whole different, default theme. We're working with...
are you doing that?
Yeah. We're working with one of the guys from A List Apart who did a design for us.
That's
Aaron
great.
Gustafson is a great, wonderful designer, and he did a design that we're sort of Drupalizing.
Well, from people who are interested in theming, Drupal is extremely powerful. It has a theming engine called PHP Template, right? Is that the current engine that is being used?
Yeah. And actually, it's a pluggable theme engine structure. So there's actually theme engines for various different theming types.
It's really unlimited.
PHP template is sort of the most supported one at this point.
And unlike a lot of themes where you really have a kind of a columnar structure, maybe two or three columns, now in 4.7 you can define regions and kind of arbitrary regions and load things into those regions, which really means that there is nothing you can't do. And I'm sure you're taking advantage of that on the MTV site.
Yeah.
Because MTV does not want a static column page.
Well, they need ads everywhere.
Right,
so,
Right. Well, you can do that, though. You can totally do that.
Yes, you can. Yeah. You totally can. It works.
In fact, that was one thing, Amber, that I never worried about. We're currently an ad-free site, essentially, on twit.tv, but we hope to have... I don't want to load it with ads, but we hope to be able to give people banner ads. And I was never worried that, we never really discussed, leave a space here or make sure, because I knew that the nature of Drupal would be very easy to put content anywhere on the page.
And Drupal's also oriented in a very standards compliant way. Just sort of the philosophy behind it is sort of the same philosophy that's behind the open standards kind of stuff. And so, I mean, just by sort of having a standards compliant site, it's pretty easy to move things around and stick new things in.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Jeff. And we'll make sure that everybody has a chance to check out twit.tv when that goes live. I don't want to say an exact date to make sure. I'll leave that to you, Leo.
Bad luck. But I'm hoping we're planning on June 29th, and we're actually waiting on a major advertiser who wants to launch the new campaign with the new site. And so those have to go hand in hand. But actually, Jeff's team, and credit to Jeff and Matt Westgate and Ted Serbinski, who've done such a great job with the wonderful job that you, Amber MacArthur, and your brother Jeff MacArthur and Tony, did at Archetype with the design. They've been ready for some time, so the holdup is not Lullabot. We've been ready to roll. The site is, if you look at the beta site, is ready. It's done. It's just a matter of folding the data in and opening it to the public, and we hope to do that. I feel so confident. Normally, you would do a beta site for a few weeks and have people bang on stuff. I feel so confident. We're just going to go with it. Jeff's going, God.
Yeah, the live beta. Live beta.
I'm going to do the Microsoft technique.
just launch it out there and then
see what happens.
See what happens.
Chase it. Exactly.
No, I feel pretty confident. I mean, I've been banging on it. It's just, Ted is really good, and he did a lot of really nice CSS stuff. He's really made it elegant. It's semantic CSS, so it's very clean, very easy to work with for me as the, you know, as the kind of the webmaster to who I've been inheriting all of this stuff. I'm really thrilled about it. So, and we hope that all of our listeners will like the new site. I mean, the problem with the old site, it was a blog. I was using Drupal as a blog, and this is not, the twit.tv is no longer one podcast or two podcasts. It's no longer a blog. It's a network. And so the site will now reflect that fact. And I think it'll be a lot easier to find the podcasts you want, to listen to the podcasts you want. And for us to behind the scenes to get the job done, which I will be grateful for because I'm doing a lot of by hand stuff right now.
You'll have some time to go sit on a beach somewhere.
So. Yeah. I get back to that heroin addiction we were talking about earlier. You know,
oh boy,
so busy. No, we're just kidding, kids.
Leo, this is how rumors get started.
Well, it's better than the last rumor was about my hairpiece. So it's only, you know, it's time we
had a
new
one. That's a good point.
Yeah, time we had a new one. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right. Well, take care. Thanks for having me.
That was Jeff Robbins of Libido, Speedway, and Orbit. Make sure you buy his record.
He's got a lot of things going on, you know.
He's a funny guy. He's a real character.
He seems funny. Hopefully I'll get to meet him face to face one of these days. And it's so neat that they're doing all this podcasting and all of this education around Drupal. Yeah. So it makes it really great for anyone who wants to learn about it and just, you know, doesn't really know where to start.
Drupal's kind of, you know, Drupal's kind of like the sad little puppy dog of content management systems. You know, the little engine that could. It's cute, but it doesn't have the style, the panache, or the flair, or frankly, the marketing of you know, a lot of other things like Plone or Zope or Joomla, or I mean, I could go on and on. And yet, when you really sit down and start using Drupal, you do fall in love with it. I understand Jeff's, you know, passion for it because it is a really remarkable tool. It really gets the job done. Uses, by the way, for those who, we didn't mention this, but it uses MySQL as the database, although I think you probably can use other database engines like Postgres. It's a LAMP. It's an open source LAMP project. Absolutely free.
Well, it'd be good to see them getting more popularity or getting more popular all the time. I know I was in a meeting recently with Tony Chibono from Archetype, and we were chatting with someone from a company called Anomaly, and we were just in a meeting with a couple of potential clients, and our contact, Ruben at Anomaly, said, hey, you know, I think we should use Drupal. You know, he's a huge fan of Drupal as well. So I'm hearing more and more about Drupal all the time, so it'll be interesting to see kind of it and watch it grow a little bit. And it seems like Jeff is kind of one of the people who's helping to do that.
He is. He knows a little more. He's got a little flair for marketing. So it's exactly what Drupal's needed for some time. And when we did decide to do the Twit redesign, that was an opportunity to change completely to a different engine. And I certainly thought about it. And once again, you know, renewed that look for other engines. But I didn't spend much time because I quickly realized that Drupal is exactly what we need. It does exactly what we want. It scales beautifully. It's very efficient. And, you know, as long as we're in the PHP, MySQL, you know, the LAMP space, Drupal really is, I think, a great choice. And I'm a Python fan. I would love to use Zope, but Zope was just more power than we needed. And Drupal just gets the job done. I wouldn't be surprised, though, down the road to see some Ruby or Ruby on Rails content management systems coming out that maybe are next generation products. And certainly I'm always...
Yeah, we still have to do an Inside the Net on Ruby on Rails. I know you've wanted to do that for a while. Yeah, we'll definitely make that happen.
We can have David Hennemeyer Hansen on, and it would be really fun. The evil genius behind Ruby on Rails.
All right.
But meanwhile, I think it's time for us to wrap this up. We will see you next Tuesday for another Inside the Net.